This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please, to visit our websites. It is cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. Well, this sermon is a follow-up to the one I gave on the coming economic tribulation. And I just want to emphasize that even though we brought out all the things that are going to happen with the dollar, please understand it's not going to happen instantly. It's not going to happen overnight. And the reason I gave it is because there is time to prepare. There is time to avoid some of these things and total disaster. So to give us a greater perspective so we know that it's not going to happen right away, I've given this sermon periodically just as a guide so we can focus on what we need to focus on, which is entitled 14 Things to Happen in Prophecy Before the End Comes. Or you could put it this way, how close are we to the end? Because it seems like every time a disaster happens, every time something major happens, some preacher somewhere says, oh, we're, the end is here, the great tribulation is ready to start. There are some people who are saying, well, tribulation's going to start in 5 years. Well, let's look and see. We've been wrong. Every human endeavor to say when the end would be has been wrong. Now, why is that? It's very simple. Jesus said so. So let's start here in Matthew 24. And of course, that is a focal chapter for a lot of the events that are going to happen at the end time. So we'll be back and forth between there and different other scriptures. Now let's come here to verse 32. Verse 32. We're going to follow it through because this is one whole section to the end of this chapter, which tells us the things we need to look for and tells us how we need to do it and show us that the most important thing that we need to understand is not to understand the prophecies perfectly, but we need to realize how we are in right standing with God at all times, because that is the important thing. Whether you know or don't know Scripture, whether you know or don't know prophecy, is not going to be a key as to whether you're going to be spared or not, or saved or not. Your standing with God is the important thing. And then you can follow chapter 24 on with chapter 25 and the parable of the 10 virgins and parable of the talents and so forth, which shows that everything is not as it appears. And the reason that it is not as it appears is because we don't know exactly how far things are going to go before the end comes. Now, verse 32. Now, we'll cover some of the other parts of the first part of Matthew 24, but I want to pick it up here. Now, learn this parable of the fig tree. When its branches have already become tender and it put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. In like manner also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. So you have to have all of these things. It's kind of like a big stage. And each one of these things would be an actor in the final scene of the play. So you've got to have all of these things in place. If you have some of them, then that gives us some indications. But if you don't have all of them, then it's not going to happen. So we'll take a look at that, because that is a very key thing. Verse 34, truly I say to you, this generation shall in no wise pass away until all these things have taken place. Now, if you don't have the tape, the two generations, write in for it, because these things applied to the time just before 70 AD. Many of the things transpired which are listed here, but not all of them were there. And so that's why we have to understand that there is a type and anti-type. The type was a generation which ended in 70 AD. The anti-type is a generation which ends with the end of this age. Now here's the key, verse 35. The heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. But concerning that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. You can put in your margin there, Acts, the first chapter, and I think it's about verse 7 or 8. You can check on that, where Jesus said, these things are in the authority of the Father. Now, he doesn't leave us clueless. He gives us many clues, many things to watch for, and many things to look at. Verse 37. Now, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now, this also implies there was economic activity. There, and we'll see, there was a lot of things going on which are taking place today. Now, we won't go through a lot of those, but it has to do with science and genetics and technology. And they were not aware until the flood came and took them all away, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, the coming of the Son of Man is a broader period than just the particular day on which he returns. Because the coming of the Son of Man includes all of these events. Like you said, when you see all of these things, know it's at the door. Verse 40, then two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, one shall be left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, one shall be left. Watch therefore, because you do not know at what hour your Lord is coming. Well, let's look at it this way. Revelation 12 does tell us that there is a place of safety for some of the people of God. And this tells us how it's going to happen. But this is also included in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, if you're taken to a place of safety, apparently by the angels of God, has not the coming of Christ come upon you to take you to a place of safety? Yes, indeed. Now, most Sunday-keeping Protestants believe that this has to do with what they call the rapture, which word is not in the New Testament at all, in which all Sunday-keeping Christians who have accepted Jesus will be raptured away and spared the tribulation. Well, they never asked the question then. If they're all spared the tribulation, how come Revelation 5 tells us that there will be the martyrdom of the saints? So let's go on. This is going to be an overview. We're not going to get bogged down in details because this is an overview. Verse 43. Now, this tells us our constant responsibility in watching. So that's what this sermon is going to be. Watch for these 14 things. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have been watching and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at a time that you do not think. Now, this is also important to understand going back to their day. They had to be ready, and even though many of these things were transpiring exactly as Jesus had said, it wasn't the time. But what if they weren't ready? See, then they would not be in the kingdom of God. So this is telling us that regardless of where we are in history, regardless of how close or far away we are from the end and the return of Christ, we always have to be ready. And that's a key thing. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord shall set over his household to give him food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. That means regardless at what time. Truly I say to you, he shall set him over all his property. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. Now here's something else too. This brings us into another aspect of how Christ comes upon you. Can he come upon you individually without returning to the earth? Of course. That's what he's talking about here. Saying, my Lord delays his coming and shall begin to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. Now, you can tie that in with, you know, the harlot of Revelation 17 and the prophecies of Revelation 13 and Revelation 18 and so forth. Verse 15. The Lord of that servant will come in a day that he does not expect, and in an hour that he does not know. In other words, God's judgment is going to come upon him. That's what he's talking about here. If it is not the literal return of Christ that is going to happen, there is a coming of Christ's judgment, and Jesus will come upon you for judgment in an hour that you don't know, in a time that you don't think of, and he says, and will cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we need to really understand and know these things. Now, let's come back to verse 3. And let's fill in some of the blanks here. And let's look at some of the events that Jesus told us that would happen. And then we will see how this happens on an individual basis. Because there's an overall picture that's going to happen to the whole world, and then there are individual causes which are leading to that. And we'll see it. Now, verse 1. And after going out, Jesus departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to point out the buildings of the temple. As I mentioned before, they were up on the Mount of Olives looking down in the Kidron Valley, and there was that 650-foot wall coming from the bottom of the valley up to the top of the wall of the temple. So it was quite an awesome thing they were looking at. But Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, there shall not be left here even a stone upon a stone that shall not be thrown down. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him alone, saying, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming, and the completion of the age. Now remember, we already read, when you see all these things coming to pass, know that it is at the door. And it always begins this way. And here is the cause of all the troubles and difficulties that we have in the world today. Then Jesus answered and said to them, be on guard so that no one deceives you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And it says a little later that there will be false prophets that show great signs and wonders. Right? Many. We have more Christian denominations, true and false. We have more people preaching in the name of Christ than at any time in history. Now, are they leading people astray? Yes, indeed. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and that's all we hear of, isn't it? See that you do not let these things disturb you, for it's necessary that these things take place, but the end is not yet. Now, I've got at home, it's called the Langer's Encyclopedia of History, which is a synopsis of history, and is filled with one war after another war after another war, and leaders assassinating each other, killing each other, building empires, destroying empires, building kingdoms, destroying kingdoms. And so this is what he's talking about here, verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in different places. That's exactly what we have today. There's famine in the Sudan. There are famine in other parts of the world. There are pestilence. There are also man-made pestilence. Just read in the paper this morning that more people are dying because of the early approval of medications and drugs to sell on the American market. And, just recently they recalled a couple of them, haven't they? Yeah, Vioxx looks like they're going to recall Celebrex. But I tell you what, you look at some of these ads for these drugs on television, just put it on mute and read the words. It's going to cause heart disease, mental disorders, liver destruction, all of these things. And then you think, how can there be any benefit for that? So that is another pestilence that has not been figured, in addition to the ones that you have, like flu and like now even tuberculosis and leprosy are beginning to become common in America, as well as many, many different diseases. And with the lower immune systems that we're developing in people today, when some of these things happen, it's going to go slam, bam, boom. Really going to be something. Earthquakes in different places? Well, let's see. Japan has had at least a half a dozen major earthquakes. And the Philippines has suffered from four huge typhoons. And I was kind of reminded of what happened in Florida. Four hurricanes come through there. Four hurricanes come through the Philippines, and they're almost exactly opposite each other as far as looking on a globe. You have Florida here, and you go straight across, and you have the Philippines over here. And it made me ask the question, I wonder what the connection is between them. I don't know, so don't ask me. But you just ask a question. Now, verse 10, then shall many be led into sin. That's exactly what is happening today. And shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. No. Verse 8, I jumped ahead to verse 10. Verse 8, now all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Now this doesn't tell us how long the sorrows are, or how intense they are, but it's going to end up in this. Verse 9, then they shall deliver you up to affliction. Now today we are edging closer and closer and closer to that point. And shall kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now mark that, because we're going to come back to that a little bit later. We're getting to the point that anyone who professes any Christianity is hated, despised, ridiculed, persecuted, and even arrested. Then shall many be led into sin, shall betray one another, shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. Then the next verse tells us something very profound. It tells us that this is going to be a much more protracted period of time than we have imagined. Because verse 13 says, but the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. Well, that's a key important thing. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Now, there are two ways of enduring to the end. One, to the end of your life. You're faithful unto the end. Two, if you survive everything that goes on, and are actually alive when Jesus returns and are faithful to the end, then you will be saved. Now, we'll come back to some of these other verses here. Now, let's come to 2 Timothy 3. Let's look at it on an individual basis. As we look around and see people out there doing their own thing, going their own way, doing the things that they desire, this tells us how it happens on an individual as well as collective basis. But here it's more individual. There in Matthew 24, it gives us the overview. Now here in 2 Timothy 3, it gets down to on a personal basis, because see, everything that people do on a personal basis can be multiplied over and over and over and over again. And this is how God makes judgments on the nations, as we've seen in the past. Now, verse 1, 2 Timothy 3. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, braggarts, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, savage, despisers of those that are good, betrayers, reckless, egotistical, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And so when you add all of that up and see how this is in the society, and of course, this is portrayed not only in society, but also in entertainment and in the movies and in television. Now, on top of it, in spite of all this now, verse 5, here's what happens. They have an outward appearance of godliness. They profess God. Now, you look at the things that are happening in this nation, and yet what do we keep saying? We are a Christian nation. Oh, really? With all the heinous things that are going on. But denying the power of true godliness. But as for you, turn away from all these things. For from men as such as these, come those who are worming their way into houses and gaining control over empty-headed women, given over to various sins, being driven by all kinds of lusts. They are always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's exactly where we are in society. Always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of God. Now, let's come to Hosea, the fourth chapter, and let's see another thing that is causing this. Now, here is the collective evil behavior of a society. There in 2 Timothy 3, it emphasizes the individual, but here in Hosea 4 and verse 1, it shows the collective result of these things all put together. And it's quite interesting. One we go to quite often. Hosea 4 and verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth. Where can you find truth? Now, if you have been following with this Christmas season, trying to take Christ out of Christmas, you know, they never ask the question, was he ever in it? But there is now a radical secularism that is sweeping the country in league with a radical homosexual movement, which is seeking to destroy everything of God and everything of religion, and it is trying to abolish the truth. And fulfills this. Nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. So there you have the society we are living in. Okay? Now, let's look at the things in the backdrop of all of this the things that have to take place before the end comes. So these things will be, some of these things, let's look at it this way. Let's run a scale of from 1 to 10 and see how much of fulfillment that we have in some of these things. Some we will see there is a partial fulfillment before our eyes today. Other things, they have to develop even much more. Number one, the king of the north. There must be a king of the north, which is also the beast power. So we can put king slash beast slash UN. So we'll make that three parts on that. Now let's come to Book of Daniel, since we're in Hosea, just a few pages back, Daniel, the 11th chapter. And we see two things. We see number one, king of the north. Number two, king of the south. Verse 40. At the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, with ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. And he'll enter into the glorious land, which is Palestine today. All right, now let's ask a question. In order for there to be a king of the north, there has to be a setup, a government for him. There has to be people, countries, and nations under him. And it does look like this is going to be the EU, United States of Europe. But the central leader is not even apparent yet. And at the present time, they have 2 years to ratify the EU Constitution. So there is time before the King of the North comes. But understand this, if there's a King of the North on the scene, there's very little time left. So since we have it, King of the North, Beast Power, UN, let's put on a scale of 10, let's put this at about 2.5. And of course, there are more and more, they're saying, get the UN out of America, which is a very interesting thing. They probably will, probably go to Europe, and that makes it right up in, you know, right in their home, you know, their country. Okay. Looking at this again, it shows that he has to have an army. Right now, Europe, even though they are looking to come together in the European Union, they're having a lot of trouble with the military. Now, the reason being is this. There are very few young people eligible to go into the service, and few even want to go into the service. So that's a big problem. So how is their army going to develop? That means it's going to take time. So go back and look how Hitler developed his army, and it took quite a period of time in order for that to happen. So that will have to be. Then another thing in Europe, there was even a special report put out, Eurabia, showing all of the Muslims that are in Europe. And they don't know what to do with them. They don't know how to handle them. And they are sitting on ticking time bombs, worse than America as far as potential for terrorist activity. So somehow they've got to solve that. Now let's look at the king of the south for just a minute. Number two. There is no amalgamation of the Arab nations, so there could be a king of the south. Now they are planning to have a pan-Arab common market. Now that's going to take time to get together. It's going to take time to get the Muslim nations to where they will work together. I mean, you're dealing with the nature of people that are wild, that are savage, that have their hand everyone against his neighbor and a sword in his hand to do it. So it's going to take quite a while for the King of the South to come on the scene and to get organized that he presents any threat to the King of the North. So on a 1 to 10 scale of fulfillment, we can put there 0 at the present time. How quickly will it come to pass? We don't know. Is the war in Iraq going to be key to that? Probably. So let's see how those things come along. Yeah, there's going to have to be a change in attitude there in the general public toward fighting terrorism. And it will probably be the result of another disastrous terrorist attack so that the population will get serious. And then they can divert more money to replenishing the supplies and ammunition and so forth. Okay, so all of these things take time. So there is time on these. Now, number 3, world trade. Now, I covered that with the one on the coming economic disorders. So you can go back and review that. But there is world trade. Now, if you don't believe it, go on to the famous or infamous Walmart, depending on your perspective, and read where these things are made. China, probably 10 to 1. Taiwan, Thailand, Vietnam, Mexico, Peru, Costa Rica. All of those things. We have world trade coming and going. It's amazing. If you have an opportunity to watch anything on the History Channel, watch about how they ship goods and supplies into America in these containers. And they now have it where they can pretty well detect everything that is in there. And we'll see that will come along with the Mark of the Beast, which is the next one here. But you see, let's just come to one here, Revelation 18. Revelation 18. Because this tells us that there is great economic activity at the end. See. And this economic activity is fostered by the religion of the world, and it is fostered by the economics we have of the world. Now notice, let's pick it up here in verse 2. This is the angel came from heaven, Revelation 18, verse 2. He cried out mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a habitation of demons and a prisoner of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird, because all nations have drunk of the wine of the fury of her fornication. So all nations are deceived, and the instrumentality behind that, the personality of Satan and his demons, deceiving the whole world. Now notice, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And this has got to be referring to Rome, because all nations have ambassadorships to Rome. Now, she has to modify a little more. She'll do it. As long as it's to her advantage in gaining power, she will do it. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the power of her luxury. Now, these merchants of the earth are the great transnational or international corporations that we have in the world. Some of the great brand names that you buy things from. You can name them in electronics, in clothing, in sportswear, in machinery, in goods. Absolutely amazing. So that's all a part of the world trade. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, what could we say of world trade? 6.5 to 7, maybe 8? Pretty close to that. And it's going all the time. See, and that's why they can't come against the dollar yet, because we are the great consumer in the world. And if they come against the dollar too quickly, then they'll have no place to sell their goods. They will have no money to make their products. And so they're going to back off and be cautious, and they will do what they're going to do when they can cause the least amount of harm to their economies. And another thing that they want out of America is this: United States technology. Now, the technology that we are giving them is old technology, which they think is new technology. And there are technologies which are being developed now which are going to stand our hair on end. Absolutely amazing things which will boost world trade. This leads to number 4, Mark of the Beast. And I recently gave a sermon on that too. So you can go back and review that sermon. But the Mark of the Beast is not only coming, it is here. And what we are going to see, not only is it going to be governments, because governments are now telling corporations, you must have ways of ensuring that there cannot be terrorist sabotage in products and in food. So they have mandated that in 2 years, every food product will have RFID, which is radio frequency identification chips, in everything that is sold. Vegetables, groceries, clothes, goods, things, apparatuses. They will all have an RFID. Little did we know that the Mark of the Beast would also be including all of those things. See, now all of these things are leading up to the Mark of the Beast more and 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 more. See, we already have it where people can get chipped. Of course, for identification purposes. But we have also seen how that the Mark of the Beast is for control. And the ultimate thing is to have every human being on earth with a mark in the right hand, a chip in the right hand, or in the forehead, for control and identification. And also, they will invent police enforcement things, which then by radio frequency, they can disable anyone who has the chip. If they're a criminal, they can disable them. It'll be total control. That's why God is so against the Mark of the Beast, because you give up your free will to have it. And this is what is happening with all this terrorist thing. Laws are being created and enacted, and who knows what's in that 600-page thing that President Bush just signed the other day on the 9/11 Commission terrorist recommendations. We don't know what's in there. Most of the senators and congressmen don't know what is in there. How many read the 600 pages? Well, there are a lot of things buried in there. Could it be that it's going to be giving authorization to tag criminals first? Because we need to know where criminals are, so we will tag them first, you see. Now, it's going to get down, and this is how Satan wants total control, because it says there in Revelation 13. Since we're in Revelation, let's go back to Revelation 13 just a minute, and let's read it. Revelation 13, verse 14. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by means of the wonders that were given to him to perform in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword, and yet was alive. And power was given, he was given power to give life to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast also could speak, and he causes everyone who will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So there's going to be absolute world control over every human being. Now, we're getting closer to that. We'll give this an evaluation here in just a minute. So it's going to be, you're either going to worship God or you're going to be killed. And he causes all, small and great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, so that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark or the number of the beast or the number of his name. So everything is getting numbered. Now, all these numbering systems are leading up to the implantation of the chip in the right hand or in the forehead. When it comes to the implantation of the chip, that is the last step. Many of these things leading up to it are not the mark of the beast, but are precursors for it. Yeah, there are three options. You either take the mark of the beast, you get killed, God takes you to a place of safety. Those are the only three options. Nothing else will work. All right, now with everything that we've covered on the mark of the beast, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are we? When we consider the whole world and everything that there is, we consider the products that are coming, we are probably on a scale of what? 5.5? 4? 4.5 to 5? 2 or 3? Okay, between, say, 2 and 5, depending on what you're looking at. Now that with the RFID, they're going to be able to track from production to packaging to wholesale distribution, sub-wholesale distribution, to retail distribution, to purchase, and who purchased it, and they will be able to track it all with just in seconds. So there won't be anything that you can buy which will not be traceable. They even have it on these mini purchase cards that you have. It records the date you purchased it, so they can even tell the date you purchased bread, what kind of bread, how old it was, and when they have the RFID on it, you know, everything's going to be traceable. Comment was made that the government now is pushing all industries to do this. All things that come in packages, everything that is produced. Comment was made by a man who works in a fresh vegetable production plant where they have things like fresh lettuce packaged, where they have fresh frozen things, beans, corn, mixed vegetables, cauliflower, and so forth. And they are working on these controls right now to do it where they can track it. And so they point out the benefits. Well, this way, if something happens on a production line, a piece of wood gets into some of the product because it's broken down, we can track exactly which packages it went to and take those off, so we'll save ourselves some lawsuit and from hurting individuals who buy it. But also, it will track everything, and it's going to be absolutely amazing what they're going to be able to do with this. So we'd have to say with the mark of the beast, we're between 2 and 5 on a scale of 10. But understand this. There are billions and billions and billions of things that this needs to go into. So this is going to take time. And this is going to take planning and implementation and making these little chips by the trillions. But it's going to come. it's going to come. Comet was made. That's why all these satellites have gone up through the years, all planning for this. This has been planning in the works for a long, long time. Now it's coming to fruition. Okay, let's fast forward this and turn it to the other side, please. Now let's continue on, but let's understand this. The whole commercial setup in the world is going to be radically changed in the next few years. And one of the great benefits that these new RFIDs and all of the global positioning will have, and it will be touted as a wonderful thing, is that it will reduce theft. Because if someone steals something, they can just put the RFID code of what was stolen into a computer, send it to a global positioning satellite, and find out exactly where it is, just like that. If you don't want to be arrested, they can send a receipt directly to you. Thank you, your account has been billed. See, and all of this is going to lead to the total cashless society. We're getting there very rapidly now. You stop and think about your paycheck and checks that you write. You have no money. You have credits and debits, and it's all figures. And cash that you have is only psychologically worth what people accept it to be. There is no real money out there. So the mark of the beast and the way for it has already been paid for years and years and years and years. But it's going to have to develop to where it's going to encompass the whole world. So this is going to take some time to do it, but it will come quite rapidly. Think about the thing. How many computers are there in the world since they first had the personal computer? Well, hundreds of millions, if not billions of them. How many people are on the Internet? And, of course, with billions of people on the Internet, going to and fro in the world in instance of seconds, you know. This just shows you some of the potential that is there and how it's going to happen. So that's how they traced down this woman who killed the woman, cut out her 8-month-old baby, and took it home. They had her within a few hours. They would have had her sooner had the baby been counted a baby in the womb rather than a fetus, because technically you cannot put out an amber alert on a fetus because it's technically not considered a person. Yeah, so anyway, that just shows you how this thing is going to be. And it will be, you know, let's put it this way. Even without the mark of the beast, there is no place you are going to hide. Period. So we're going to have to stand up for our faith one way or the other. Now, let's continue on. Well, let's continue on, number 5. And watch this carefully. Let's come to Daniel, the 11th chapter again, and here's something that we haven't put into the equation before. So we're going to put it into the equation. And number 5 will be kings of the north and east. Kings of the north and east. Now let's pick this up here in Daniel 11 in verse 44. And this is after the king of the north settles into Jerusalem. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, because that will have to do with the temple. Verse 44. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth in great fury to destroy, and utterly to make away many. Now let's come to Revelation 8, and let's see how this... We need to understand that there is a lot of development yet to go on. These nations don't rise in power instantly. It takes place over a period of time. China is rising. Japan has already risen. Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, India, Pakistan, and all of the countries from Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and all of the Soviet powers now called Russia. So when we get to the end, there will be two of these armed camps. Now, the king of the south will not have a lot of military, so it will be easy for the king of the north to come down there and take care of the king of the south. But then, they're going to be confronted with the kings of the north and the east. Now, when we come to Revelation, the 8th chapter, here's where it is, where it talks about that he will go and make away many, which then is Revelation, the ninth chapter. And so this is going to be the king of the north, who will then have supernatural power of demons come out and assist him, verse 2. He opened the bottomless abyss, and there went up smoke from the pit, Revelation 9 and verse 2, and the smoke, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Locusts came up onto the earth from the smoke, and the power was given to them, as scorpions of the earth have power. So here is a super secret demonic retaliation weapon that he is going to have. And if you've seen anything concerning the rise of the Third Reich and the occult power, you will know that those things exist, and you will know that this is a reality. And so the king of the north is going to have all of these demonic powers, and he's going to come against the other kings of the north and the kings of the east. And so it's going to stymie their military movements, because they're going to have power. It's given to them as the power of scorpions on the earth. Now, they're not going to damage the green grass or the green thing or any tree, but only those who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads. And it was given to them that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. So he's going to buy 5 months of time by having them tormented or incapacitated. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion that stings a man. And in those days, men shall seek death, but will not find it. They will desire to die, but death shall flee from them. And the appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for war, and on their heads were crowns like those of gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like those of lions, and the breastplates like iron breastplates, and the sound of their wings was like the noise of chariots drawn by many horses running to war. And so this is quite a powerful thing that is going to happen. Now, we need to understand that these are mammoth things that are going to occur. Now, you don't want to be around when this takes place. So right now, we don't know exactly the development of this as it's coming, say, on a scale of 1 to 10. But we do know that Europe is going to develop, the kings of the north and the east are going to develop, which then will be simultaneous with the fall of Israel. So the further that Israel falls, the greater that these nations are going to rise. Now, they don't want to take away from Israel, that is modern America and England and Australia, New Zealand and Canada at the present time. But they will later on. So this is going to be quite an awesome thing. Now, verse 11 says, and they have a king, the angel of the Gis. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but his name in Greek, but the name he has in Greek is Apollyon. So that's Satan the devil. Now then, there's going to be a retaliation. And here are the kings of the east. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice out of the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. And it said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels that are bound in the great river Euphrates. Then the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day, month and year were loosed, so that they might kill a third of men. And the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. Army of 200 billion. That can only come out of the kings of the east. And then it talks about their first war-making capacities and everything. So what we need to do is watch and see how this is developing. Right now, at this present time, Russia and China are working together more than ever before. China and Iran are working together. Now, Iran figures in the kings of the east. Look what's happening in North Korea. Now, China is not going to expose itself or waste its power on an invasion until they are sure that they have the upper hand. So this is why, if China is involved in an invasion against Israel, that is America, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and Britain, it will be a small contingency of the armies that are listed here. And of course, we don't know exactly how all of that is going to take place, but sooner or later, the U.S. will come down, England will come down, and all of the modern 10 tribe nations of Israel will come down, which is point number 6. Israel will lose power. Israel will lose power. Now, that's not talking about the Jews alone. But isn't it interesting how, out of all this terrorist activity, what nations are united together? England and America. And Canada will be too. You wait and see. They'll probably have a terrorist attack and they'll be fully in camp with us. Australia and New Zealand. And all the rest of the nations of the world hate us. We can't understand how the nations of the world hate us. And something has happened because of the fulfilling of the prophecies. Now, we'll just have to see how this comes about. So the power of Israel is going to gradually come down, and it will be hit economically first, as we covered in the coming economic tribulation. Now then, number 7, the false prophet. Or we could put it this way, the Pope. Now, if you've read anything about the Roman Catholic Church, if you've read anything about the Vatican, the power of the Pope and things like this, you'll understand that there is a revival of Catholicism that is coming about very slowly. But this Pope, now, I remember seeing him when he was inaugurated, and that was back in, 1977, somewhere around there. And I thought to myself when I saw him, as I've said before, when he gave his greetings in 45 different languages, one right after the other, I said, this has got to be it. This has got to be the last pope. Well, he's not. See? More things have got to happen. And now he's what, 81, 82 years old? How he keeps living, I don't know. But he is going to die. And a new pope will come on the scene. And it's going to enhance the power of the Catholic Church. Now they're going to ecumenize with the Protestants. They're going to ecumenize with the other religions of the world and develop what will look like a world religion. But the ecumenizing of Protestantism right now at the present time is their main goal. Let's see what's going to solidify the power of the Pope and the Vatican. Revelation 13. Now, there are only three places in the New Testament that talks about the false prophet. Revelation 13, Revelation 16, Revelation 19. Okay. But notice this, he's going to work in tandem with the beast who will be the king of the north. Now, we'll tie this together here in just a little bit. Now, verse 11, Revelation 13. And I saw another beast rising up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast before him, which then is worldwide, over all nations and kindreds and so forth. And he causes the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he performs great wonders so that he causes fire to come down to the earth from heaven in the sight of men. So you're going to have a great revival of this great religious system. There is going to be the false prophet and the beast working together. Now let's see how this comes together in 2 Thessalonians. Because it's going to be awesome. Now remember, if we're living in the days when this is happening, please understand, there is hardly any time left. Second Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now the beast and the false prophet working together will be this. As it says there in Daniel, the 11th chapter, the king of the north, who is the beast, he comes down into the Holy Land, and he goes into the temple. Okay, now I'm just a little bit ahead of myself, but we'll back up and catch the temple and the two witnesses here in just a minute. But let's talk about this mystery of lawlessness or the mystery of iniquity. Okay. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and let's pick it up here in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you be not quickly shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by epistle, as if from us, saying that the day of Christ is present. Do not let anyone deceive you by any means, because that day will not come unless the apostasy shall come first. And that apostasy is going to make an absolute division between the worshipers of Satan and the worshipers of God. And the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. So there is a particular man that comes out of this system. And it is a system that has existed from the days of the Apostle Paul writing this in 52 AD. Because he says, and we'll see in a minute, it's already working. Now there is only one counterfeit Christian religious system which traces itself back this far, and that is Roman Catholicism, and then the split off with the Orthodox. So let's read it here. Now here's what's going to happen when the beast comes into his full power and marches into the temple. The one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is an object of worship, so that he comes into the temple of God and sits down as God, proclaiming that he himself is God and will be designated so by the false prophet. That's why they work together. Now put in your notes there, Daniel, the 8th chapter, the last about 4 or 5 verses there. And it talks about the beast power. Verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you understand what is holding him back in order for him to be revealed in his own set time. So there is going to be a set time when he is revealed, and he will first come on approximately 7 years before the end. And the first part of his reign is going to be miraculous, doing wondrous things, bringing peace to the world, being worshipped as God. He will have all the satanic power that he needs. So this is going to be awesome. So when we see, if we live to see this man come on the scene, you know that the end is almost here. Now what we can say with this is this. As far as the mystery of lawlessness, it's about 9.5%. 9.5 out of 10. Not percent, but 9.5 out of 10. All they need is the last pope. Now, the one who's going to be the beast, we don't know where he is. If it comes in our generation, he's alive somewhere. He's got to be born of some woman. Now, we don't know where he is, but when he comes on the scene, you're going to know. It's going to be instant, 100% fulfillment at that time. So the system is ready. Verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already working. Only there is one who is restraining at the present time until it arises out of the midst. So God is holding it back for all the other prophecies to be coming on the scene. Because remember where we started. When you shall see all these things, know that the end is at the door. Verse 8, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. You can put in there Revelation 19. That's when it's going to happen. He and the false prophet are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Even the one whose coming is according to the inner working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. This is going to be amazing. The people of the world are going to flock and follow after this as the false Messiah, the great Savior of the world, the one who can bring peace on earth. For this cause, God shall send them a powerful deception that will cause them to believe the lie. Why is he going to do that? Verse 10. With all deceivable of unrighteousness in those who are perishing because they did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. Now we'll talk about this in a little bit, because of the love of the truth is very profound and important for us. See, today, everyone seeks a position. They don't seek truth. And because they're not seeking truth, they don't know what is happening to the Word of God. They don't know what is happening in the world. For example, a lot of people say, well, let's not take God out of the public. Listen, he's already gone. See, they don't believe the truth. But have pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay, so that's going to come. Now, along with it, there'll be many false prophets and so forth that will go with it, as we have read. Okay. Number 8. We just read here, he goes into the temple of God. So there must be a temple of God that is going to be built in Jerusalem. Now, just 2 scriptures on this. Revelation 11. And the temple must be built before the next one, which will be the 2 witnesses. Well, let's pick it up here in verse 1, Revelation 11. Then the angel gave me a measuring rod like a staff, saying, arise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. But leave out the court that is within the temple area and do not measure it, because it has been given up to the Gentiles, and they shall trample the holy city, they trample upon the holy city for 42 months. Okay. There will be a rebuilding of the temple. Now, when that happens, please understand this. With the way that they're able to build things today, they can build the temple in a short period of time, like within one year to 18 months. Because the temple was really very small. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are they on the temple? I would say 3. 3. Because they have the gowns, they have a lot of the ritual tools already made, they have the high priest implements all ready to go, they now have a new Sanhedrin that was elected just this last month. And there will have to be peace in Jerusalem with the agreement to be that the Jews be allowed to build their temple. And I also think at that time, then the spring of Gion will start flowing and they will know exactly where to build it in the right place. Because the Western Wailing Wall has nothing to do with the temple, as you know, that is part of Roman property. Okay. Now, when the beast goes into the temple of God, as we mentioned there, let's come back to Matthew 24. This is a key. Now, if you live to see this, then you know you're right smack in the middle of it. There was no rapture and you didn't go. You didn't make it to a place of safety. Now what are you going to do? See? Okay. Matthew 24. And this tells us when the tribulation will begin. It's an absolute key. In order for the tribulation to begin, this event must happen. So a lot of people who want to try and say the tribulation is here, it's upon us now, they have missed the whole point. Okay, let's come to verse 15. Therefore, when you shall see the abomination of desolation which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, that can only mean the temple. Because Jesus was talking to the disciples and telling them that these things would be destroyed. Temple was existing. The holy places in the temple. It won't be a tabernacle. You can rest assured that the Jews will not settle for just a tabernacle. It will be a temple. Then he says, the one who reads, let him understand. In other words, as I pointed out before, when John canonized the New Testament, they did not understand this. He only understood from Revelation, what we have Revelation 11, that there will be a temple built, but he didn't understand it because when it fell in 70 AD, there was no man who came in who fulfilled Revelation 13. As a matter of fact, that was before Revelation 13 was even given. So that's why it says, the one who reads, let him understand. Now, then he says, those in Judea flee to the mountain. If you're on a housetop or in the field, don't come back. Now, verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation. That's when the great tribulation is going to start. Such as not has been from the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again. And if those days were not limited. Now the King James says, cut short. So a lot of ministers get up there and say, well, God could cut this short at any time. Not so, because then the words of Jesus would not be fulfilled. This means limited. He has limited the tribulation to 3.5 years. If it weren't limited, there would be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be limited. Okay. Number 9, two witnesses. Two witnesses come on the scene after the temple is built. And if you don't have the sermon that I gave on the two witnesses in Elijah, be sure and write for it. But if you see the two witnesses come on the scene, and you see the miracles that they do from Jerusalem, you know that all hell is going to break loose in a matter of months. All right, number 10, the Laodicean church. We talked about a lot about the Laodiceans, haven't we? Where are the Laodiceans? The answer is everywhere. The whole society is Laodicean. All of Protestantism is Laodicean. Most of the churches of God are Laodicean. And so they're going to have to repent and start doing the work of God. That's why the church has been scattered, to try and test everyone. Are you going to do what God wants? Because we worship the leader. We worship the buildings and land. We worship money. So God took it all away. So we all better be about repenting, because if we're not Laodiceans, I don't know how to understand the Bible very well. See, we all have to admit that and be about repenting. So the question is, the next one, which then will be number 11, where are the Philadelphians? Very rare, very hard to find. Now you can do a study and compare the two of them yourself. Okay? Now, number 12, hating of Christians. I've got an article here where a man in Philadelphia and four others were arrested for preaching the gospel on the curbside where they were having a gay fest. We are going to be hated. Anyone who names the name of Christ is going to be hated. Anyone who stands for God is going to be hated. Now this means that those Protestants who are neither nor, kind of sitting on the fence, they're going to have to make some decisions. But we're being hated more and more and more, and the fact that we are hated in America more than any other nation is because we're the only nation that believes in Christ, whether in sincerity or whether in error. I mean, you think about it. Europe is secularized. It's going to have a great Catholic revision in order to come to the fore. But America, they profess Christ. Even the president does. That's why they're hated. That's why we're hated. That says there in Matthew 24 that you're going to be hated by all nations. We're seeing it happen right now. Okay? Okay, number 13. Preaching of the gospel, Matthew 24 and verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. What we thought is proclaiming to all the world really was not to all the world. Is not that generation past? I mean, some of us straddled it a little bit. But when there were the radio programs and the television programs booming out all over the world, that generation has passed. That leader is gone. Many of those who were part of it are getting old and heading to the finish line. Where is the gospel being preached? How is it going to be preached? Well, Christ is going to have to open the door because he promised the gospel shall be preached and then the end shall come. Now, how is that going to be? How long will it endure? In what form is it going to take place? How involved will the churches of God be? Well, as I mentioned before, if all 300 churches of God repented and started doing the work of God the way that God wants them to, being empowered with His Holy Spirit, it could really make a great difference in the world. It'd be hard to track down because there's not one organization, not one man, not one church, but 300 of them. So maybe that's how it may come about. I do not know. Now, a lot of people say, well, the two witnesses are going to preach the gospel from Jerusalem. Yeah, that's true. But do you want to give up your responsibility? And then God says, well, why didn't you preach the gospel? So, well, I'm just waiting for the two witnesses. He said, you go preach the gospel to every creature. You go into all nations, and that's a continuous thing to do. So how this is going to come about, how big it will get, how great it will get, we don't know. Now, number 14, we already covered a little bit of that to introduce. Okay. Number 14, no truth and no faith. As we said there in Hosea 4, there is no truth and no faith. That's why Jesus said in Luke 18, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith in the earth? Now that tells you something very profound, doesn't it? It tells you there will be few Christians, true faithful believers, doesn't it? That also tells us, will there be the true teachings of the faithful doctrines of the Word of God? And as we've seen in developing the New Testament, what they are doing to the Bible. It is absolutely incredible. While they're still trying to keep God in the Constitution, they are forgetting that God is being taken out of the Bible. Of all things, the very Word of God, which is to tell us the truth, is being taken right out of the Bible by all of these terrible and absolutely satanic and awful translations that we see in the world today. So these 14 things have been a little different than we've had in the past. But we have to watch for the King of the North, the King of the South, world trade? Okay, let's go back, and before we finish that, let's go back and we'll take number 12 on a scale of 1 to 10, hating Christians, probably up to about 4.5 or 5 right now, isn't it? You say? Okay. Number 13, preaching the gospel to the whole world? What would we say, 2 or 3? Maybe 4 or 5? I don't think this can be based just upon saying that a lot of people believe that Jesus is the Messiah. It would have to be on the preaching which has to come from the churches of God.
Okay.
So very low at the present time. Okay. Number 14, no truth, no faith. What? 8.5? 8.5? 9? Somewhere around there? Okay, with no faith. I would say maybe 8.5 or 9 is a little high, but I would say if we get down to 1 or 2, that's a little low.
Okay.
Probably more like 5, because there are a lot of Protestants out there who think they have faith, but they have a false faith. Faith on the earth. What does the term "shall he find faith on the earth"? Does that mean knowledge of Christ only? Does that mean understanding of the doctrines? What does it mean? See, so we could say in a strict looking at it, it means the true doctrines, then we're probably down to 0.5. If we say that it includes everybody who believes that Jesus is the Messiah and that Christ is returning, well, you can probably bring that up to about a 5. So there's a great deal of fluctuation there, especially if you look at the last election where they said the moral issues were the paramount importance to them. But most of them were Sunday keepers anyway. Okay. So let's just go ahead and review these 14 points. Now, I may give this again in a year or two. We're almost at year 2005. 2005. So how long will it go? We don't know. So there has to be the King of the North, King of the South. Number 3, World Trade. Number 4, Mark of the Beast. Number 5, kings of the east and the north. Number 6, Israel isolated. Number 7, the false prophet and false prophets. You can put it all in there together. Number 8, the temple. Number 9, the two witnesses. Number 10, the Laodiceans. Number 11, the Philadelphians. I remember the first time I gave this back, I think in 1967, we said, well, obviously the Laodiceans are not even on the scene yet. Now it is, you know, are the Philadelphians on the scene? All the rest are Laodiceans. Okay. Number 12, hating Christians. Number 13, preaching the gospel. Number 14, no truth, no faith in the earth. So there's a lot that has to happen. And this only is an overview, and many other smaller things which fit into the overall picture will be coming along and will fit into it, be leading up to it. So we need to keep on being prepared, keep on watching, and these are the things to watch for, the 14 things that are coming in prophecy. Now, each one of these things is worth a sermon in itself, or maybe two or three, but the details, the overview of what we have will be filled in with the details as it comes down in the future. But this gives us an overview and a guideline to see how prophecy will be fulfilled. And the main reason for this is so that we will not be led astray or be deceived by the events that are taking place.
Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6B 5B2. Australia, GPO Box 1574, Sydney, 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihi, W-A-I-H-I, Waihi, 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilroe Park, W-I-L-R-O, Wilroe Park, 1731. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 39, Devon, PL 199RL.